Hey guys, my name is Renee, and I have a new life in Christ, and I am recovering from anxiety, comparison, and lust. Hey, thanks. Pray with me, please. Father, I just thank you that you love us so much, that you knew, God, before you even created us, that each one of us would be in this very room. Lord, we know that there is purpose in that, and we thank you for your kindness and for your faithfulness. Lord, I pray that you would calm my anxious heart, Lord, calm my nerves. I pray that people would see your grace and your love through my story. Amen. So I grew up in a loving home where we were at church every time the doors opened. I learned the stories of the Bible and accepted Christ's death on the cross as payment to cover my sins. But it was many years later that I came to understand that the same Christ desires to give me healing and restore me. My life before and after accepting Christ as my Savior looked like a pretty normal small-town girl's life. I was a straight-A student from grade school to high school. I hung out with the cool Christian crowd and was active in my church youth group. I was always home before curfew and never got into much trouble. My overall demeanor was joyful and easygoing. To most people, it probably looked like I had it all together. What people couldn't see was that perfectionism and anxiety were brewing inside my heart and my mind for many years. Growing up, I was teased for being tall and lanky, and I never felt pretty according to our culture's standards. I'd read Psalm 139, 14 many times. It says, "I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well." My mind knew this was true because it's in the Bible, but my heart did not know it to be true. To this day, I can remember things that kids did because of my tall, thin appearance, like a song that was frequently dedicated to me in music class about a girl who's so skinny she gets sucked down the bathtub drain. When I compared my physical features to those of my friends and those of women I saw in magazines, I always fell short. I wanted my friend's eyelashes, my classmate's muscular calves, that model's hair. The list can go on and on. My dad would sometimes tell me that I looked pretty, and I immediately got angry at him for saying that because I thought he was lying. When I wasn't able to be the best at whatever I tried, I simply quit. So I started playing tennis in middle school, but I didn't make the varsity team, so I quit. Most of my friends got asked out on dates or had boyfriends in high school, but this just wasn't the case for me. This led me to further believe the lie that I was not desirable. Since I did not see myself as a pretty girl or a sporty girl, I focused my attention and my energy on schoolwork. This was an area where I could succeed, and I did. I quickly became what I used to make myself feel like a winner, and it was an area that I could control what other people thought of me. Along with constantly comparing myself to others, I began to experience anxiety attacks at a young age, and the first was in middle school. To no one's fault, I was not taught about feelings, that they're normal. Instead of learning to label and express my feelings, I kept them bottled up and stuffed way down. All sorts of feelings, like anger, sadness, fear, happiness. When life began to feel overwhelming, these stuffed emotions quickly rose to the top and overflowed into anxiety attacks. During these attacks, I would feel sweaty and clammy, sick to my stomach, and unable to concentrate. My mind would race with thoughts about the what-ifs of my future, about not being worthy of things or people, and possibly living in an anxiety attack for the rest of my life. I try my best to keep from experiencing anxiety. I memorized scripture about worrying, talked with my parents about it, prayed about it. One thing I've learned is that I used my control to cope with anxiety. If I was in control, I could ensure that things didn't happen that would trigger my anxiety. This continued through college and after college. My family would witness these attacks and tried their best to help me, but the struggle was much deeper than just needing to take medication and to eat enough food to make it through the day. Being in middle school, I began to struggle with sexual lust. With a mind that easily dwelled on certain things, I would often think of things I read in magazines or scenes I'd seen on a TV show that were sexual in nature. Since I didn't view myself as good or worthy, I would sometimes act out on these lustful thoughts to make myself feel better or to de-stress. It made me feel valued and loved. I knew it was wrong to think of these sex scenes and to act out on them, but it felt like something I could never say no to. During college, these same struggles continued, and some of them even getting worse. There were more people for me to compare myself to once I left my small hometown, and social media was becoming widespread. And I continued to think of my physical appearance in an increasingly negative manner. No amounts of cute clothes, no makeup or hair products made me feel pretty or valued. My longest dating relationship occurred during college, and we engaged in physically inappropriate acts. What we did only exaggerated my struggle with lust. Experiencing anxiety attacks became somewhat of the norm for me for a few years. When unexpected changes happened, or when someone close to me made a decision that would affect me, or when I felt as though I wasn't the best at something, I would have anxiety attacks. And these anxiety attacks were truly scary, as I didn't feel like my normal, happy, easygoing self during them. I joined Watermark Community Church about 9 years ago and got into a community group. After some time, I felt comfortable opening up to them about my struggles. One of them, who's now one of my best friends, asked me if I had thought about coming to Regeneration. I thought, since I'm functioning 95% of the time pretty well, I didn't need it. But it didn't take many future anxiety attacks for me to realize that despite my best attempts, I could not fix myself. Despite being a longtime Christian, being in community, serving in church, attending Bible studies, I felt like I had no control over my thoughts or my emotions. No matter how much I talked about my struggles with friends, family, counselors, my struggles were still with me. I tried everything I knew to fix my problems, but nothing was ever fixed. I felt like Paul when he said in Romans 7:15, "I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do." Fed up with being frustrated, in 2012, I walked through the doors of Regeneration. The first few nights, I was embarrassed. I was embarrassed that I was a Christian and had struggles. I was embarrassed that I hadn't been able to overcome my struggles on my own. I looked around to see if there were any people I knew wondering what they might think about me. Attending the orientation, newcomers, and groundwork groups were really vital in my recovery as I heard other women open up about their own struggles, which were some of the same struggles I was facing. I was not alone. Other women truly understood what it was like to struggle with anxiety, comparison, and lust. To be in the same circle as beautiful, normal women who were comfortable admitting they weren't perfect was like a breath of fresh air for my soul. It helped me open up and be vulnerable with people I knew and people I didn't know. During the first three steps, admit, believe, and trust, I came to an understanding and truly believed for the first time that I was helpless and that only God had the power to overcome my struggles. I had to choose to give him my struggles and trust that he could handle them. Through this, I was reminded of his great love for me. I'd accepted Jesus as my Savior many years before, believing that I was a sinner who would never be good enough to earn God's love. I believed that Jesus Christ came from heaven to earth, lived a sinless life, and chose to die on the cross as a payment for my sins, that he rose to life 3 days after his death on the cross, and that his sacrifice created a way for me to go to heaven. Never before, though, had I viewed my struggles for what they were, sin, the very sin that Christ had died for. In step four, which is inventory, I took stock of my sins and struggles from my life up to that point. This was a new exercise for me, and it proved incredibly helpful. Through my inventory, I began to see patterns that ran through my life, patterns that formed the way I thought, the way I behaved, and the way I viewed my world. It also revealed idols in my life, those things that were more important to me than God. And how I had chosen to believe lies about myself that did not line up with what God says in Scripture. I learned that I had an active part in my struggles, that I wasn't just a victim of people teasing me or of what images I'd seen on TV or the fact that I couldn't see what the future held for me. Confessing my sin, struggles, and patterns to my community group and mentor during step five, confess, took humility, but the love and support they showed me made me feel valued and accepted. In step six, repent, I made an effort to turn from my sin and turn toward God and his will for my life. Step seven, eight, and nine, which are follow, forgive, and amends, were also very helpful for me. They gave me an opportunity to forgive those who had hurt me and whose actions had led me down a path that became my struggles. I was able to make amends with a sweet coworker who I compared myself to and became jealous of, which eventually turned into bitterness and ruined our friendship. When I sat down with her and confessed my part in the dissolution of our friendship, she was gracious and merciful, and we now have a friendship again, and I love getting to share that story of our amends. Steps 10, 11, and 12, continue intimacy and regenerate, are steps that I work through to this day. I must constantly take inventory of my life, keeping short accounts with people I hurt, including God. I now see my struggles and sin as idols that separate me from a close relationship with the Lord. When I now allow my thoughts to spiral with worry, I confess to the Lord, ask for his forgiveness, and turn toward the truth of his word and believers who can remind me of who I am as Christ's desired creation. Spending quiet time with God is sweet. It rejuvenates me, fills me with hope, and increases my trust in his steadfast love. Working through the recovery steps of regeneration was not easy for me. I came wanting an immediate fix, a way to never have to struggle again. When my situations didn't change, I would become really frustrated and angry. But as I worked the 12 steps, I came to understand that it was a process, that all the steps were equally as important, that the steps were in the order they should be, and that each step built on the ones before it, and that this was purposeful. Since completing regeneration several years ago, my life has changed in many positive ways. I still struggle with anxiety, comparison, and lust, but the struggle looks different. The steps I learned in regeneration have given me the practical ways to deal with these struggles. For instance, when I now feel anxious, I am able to better understand what's led to those feelings and my part in getting to that place. I look to Scripture to find hope and peace that can only be found in Christ. I spend time in prayer, being honest with God about my feelings and fears. I have friends that I can be honest with about my anxious thoughts, which is helpful because they're able to tell me when my thoughts are irrational, and many of them are sitting down here this evening. One huge victory that the Lord has brought into my life is the decrease in amount of anxiety attacks. This past year held several unforeseen changes that directly impacted my life. Typically, these changes would create a lot of anxiety within me and usually lead me into anxiety attacks that sometimes last weeks. But this past year was different. For the first time, I actually experienced what Philippians 4:6-7 is telling us. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I memorized that verse years ago, but last year was able to experience the peace found only in surrendering my thoughts and cares to Jesus. I was able to rest in the fact that God is my Jehovah Jireh, that he will provide for all my needs. That even though I was surprised at these changes, he wasn't surprised at all. In fact, he'd allowed them. I now enjoy sharing this victory with friends, coworkers, and others in my life who have asked me how I deal with these changes. Such a difference. When I notice that I'm comparing myself to friends and coworkers and even just passersby, I'm more quickly to recognize what I'm doing. I can now point out lies that I believed and replace them with truth from God's word. I see the importance in surrounding myself with other women in the same life stage who help me see myself as God sees me. And I work to do this on a regular basis. Sometimes I have to limit the time I spend on social media, looking at magazines and reading blogs, as I've learned that these contribute to my struggle with comparison. My struggle with lust is also still with me, but I've learned that through regeneration to bring that struggle into the light, to confess to my community group and to my friends at regeneration when I stumble. I found victory in taking an active role in what I fill my mind with. I change the channel when certain shows or scenes come on television, change the station when a raunchy song is playing on the radio, and only read magazines and books that do not contain sexual matter. My relationships with friends and family look different than they did before regeneration and before consistently working the steps. Instead of constantly feeling less than all my friends, I can celebrate the ways that we are created differently and how we're each beautiful in God's eyes. Not only always comparing myself to my friends and feeling jealous over their beauty has kept bitterness far from those relationships. When I slip up and use sarcasm to make myself feel better when I'm feeling insecure, I quickly ask for forgiveness. I'm now better able to accept compliments from friends and family, compliments about my physical appearance that used to really upset me. Having close, authentic relationships with women in community has helped me continue to grow and progress through the steps. They check in on me to find out how I'm doing with my struggles through life's up and downs. The Lord uses them to point out patterns of sin, to remind me of who I am in Christ, and to provide sound encouragement. And I'm also reminded that I'm not alone in my struggles, that we're all sinners who need a Savior. I now get the chance to serve in Regeneration, first in women's groundwork groups. In the short amount of time these women were in groundwork, I got to see firsthand the work and the change the Lord was beginning to accomplish in their lives as they gave over their struggles to the Lord. When some of these same women came back to visit my groundwork circle when they were in Step 12, I was incredibly encouraged to hear of their changed hearts and lives and how they'd grown in their relationship with God. I'm currently serving as a co-leader of a step group of 15 women going through Regeneration. These women are so fun and so excited to be working the steps. I'm witnessing how the Lord is working in their lives draws me closer to Him. My co-leader constantly encourages me to struggle well and to look to the root of my issues when I'm struggling. I'm so thankful to have her in my life. Most importantly, my relationship with the Lord has grown and become sweeter over the past few years. I'm now more honest with the Lord about how I'm struggling and how I don't always understand the plan He has for me. Despite my limited understanding, He has shown me over and over again He loves me and cares for me. Isaiah 46:4 is a verse that a good friend showed me brought to my attention, and I meditate on it often as it reminds me of His promise to love and to take care of me. Says, even to your old age and gray hairs, I am He. I am He who will sustain you. I made you and I will carry you. I will sustain you and I will rescue you. This scripture and many others are now very personal to me and to my life story. If you're new to Regeneration, welcome. You have been prayed for and cared about long before you walked in the doors. If you've been around Regeneration for a long time, welcome also. The whole Regeneration team is glad that you're here tonight. And like I said in my prayer, the Lord knew before He even formed our bodies in our mother's wombs that we would each be here right now. You are so loved. God didn't make us and leave us to just be on our own. He has made a way for us to have a relationship with Him and to find healing and recovery in Him. My name is Renee, and I have a new life in Christ, and I'm recovering from anxiety, comparison, and lust. And because of God's work in my life, I'm proud to boast in my weaknesses.